Hey, what is up? And welcome to Irate Minority. Been gone for a little while, I know that. Had family Easter things to do and just work in general. Unfortunately, I am not paid to do this, and I try to do it as much as I can, but life interferes. That's just the way things are. So tonight it is a little unscripted as usual. I'm becoming the norm here at Irate Minority, and I do apologize that I did not put this up in advance. Heard from Crafty, who will be calling in, and he is going to guest host. We're just going to kind of talk about things that are going on and get his thoughts, see what he's got going on now. And yeah, always as usual, we will welcome callers. So, we'll get Crafty on here. Hopefully soon. I don't know if he's tuned in yet or not. Like I said, we just do this thing together pretty fast. I again apologize. I know that I haven't been. It's a lot of prepared, concise shows. I know that if you listen to the Backstage Pass when we were doing Front Row, that Crafty did a good job setting shows up. We put a lot of work into it, and I've been trying with this, but slow start. Eventually, it will get moving pretty fast. So if it takes a little while, then it takes a little while. That's the way these things are, unfortunately. Life interferes, and it's pretty difficult to No, it's a lot of writing. It's a lot of prep. I like to get on here and just basically blab and give you my opinion on things and tell you to prepare for the worst and end times, blah, blah, blah. Maybe not end times, but just a real bad situation. But I do like to have my sources and, the facts so I can spout them off pretty quickly because, people call in and they want to know where you got information, and I like to have it. I try very hard to only say things that I have read about and fact-checked, but that's not always possible. So we do our best here at Irate Minority, and if you've been on the website, I haven't had a lot of blog posts. I actually have been working on one for about a week and a half. It's nothing that's going to win any awards or likely get published anywhere. Well, I guess you have to actually submit things to get them published. But anyway, it's a pretty good one. It's just the current situation, what's going on, the threat of war, hostile forces mounting at the borders. Not literally the borders, but you know what I mean. So, and I will be coming up with that. I'm going to incorporate video onto the website as well. Crafty has been putting up a lot of videos from what I can tell. And, we'll definitely get links to that on there. So you can see Crafty and his nifty video work and all the things that he is working on now. And I believe we have him calling in now, so let me go ahead and answer this. Crafty, is that you, sir?
Hello.
It is. It is Crafty.
Oh, he got the dog barking and everything with that, Bax.
Right on. Yeah, that's there's no frills or anything. This is pure homegrown information.
Awesome. Awesome. Great to talk to you.
You too. So there's no shortage of things to talk about, Crafty. I don't have to tell you that. So why don't you? I have been plugging you a little bit on YouTube on past shows and telling people to go your way. It is still the Front Row Atheist, is that right?
I think the show, I'll actually bring it up. The YouTube channel is actually Front Row Seat.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's Front Row Seat. I wanted to leave my options open as far as which direction I went in. So yeah, Front Row Seat on YouTube. Coming up close to a couple hundred subscribers. So,
nice.
Chip away. It's been a while. Yeah, it's been a while. We had some medical crap and all that, that we had to had to battle, but you know, I figured this would be a good way to maybe get back into in the mode of things, was, you know, calling into Irate Minority, and maybe it would spark a little something in myself.
Absolutely, yeah. And that's really the only true way, right, is discussion and talking to people and debate and, you know, actually getting ideas out there. That's the way we grow, and I think that a lot of that now is argument. You know, people are taking pot shots, and it's always the other. It's not us and our differences and thought. It's you know, the enemy. What do you think about that?
Well, it's, you know, it's so very true. We stand a very divided people, and you can, you know, slice that up however you want, right? Whatever state you're in, as a country, as a planet, you know, no solidarity among, you know, especially the 99%, which is a shame. And it, you know, as it did and as it has for the last 10 years, continues to blow my mind with what people are, you know, willing to put up with and take. And it never ceases to to fascinate me that you know, the same tricks are used, the same lies are told, everything, you know.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
You know, I mean, now you have, you know, right? I mean, Donald Trump doing the same thing that Obama did, in some areas worse, and, you know, whatever. And, you know, and his supporters are blind to it being the same thing as it was when, you know, for Obama.
You're right. It's that whole new boss, same as the old boss. The people are have a hard time grasping that concept, I think.
The Who said it best, didn't they, 40 years ago?
Yeah, they did.
Or 50 years ago, whenever the hell that was. Jesus. But, yeah, exactly. You know, I mean, you know, when you look at it, you know, it's amazing. I mean, I wasn't, obviously, I think, as you know, I was vehemently against, you know, both main candidates. And you know, but the line on Trump was, you know, not an insider and this and that. You know, even if you disagreed with whatever, right, you were like, all right, well, maybe we'll see if, you know, he truly, you know, what does he do? Surrounds himself with Goldman Sachs and Exxon and, you know, and then a bunch of crazy creationists and, you know, ups the military expenditures, cuts everything else, tax cuts for the rich, boom, boom, boom. Same old, same old.
Yeah, and that's, you know, and I I heard a variation of this somewhere, and it was true in a lot of ways for me that I cheered when Hillary lost, but then I got sick when Donald Trump won. You know, it was just such a poor choice, but you're right. I even, you know, was, oh, he maybe he really will work on the infrastructure, because that's a big deal for me. You know, and I know that you as well. And, you know, I thought, well, okay, you know, he's not a great businessman, but he's a businessman nonetheless. Maybe he can actually do some good. He's not the smartest guy as far as working with people and social interactions, but it was almost like you're talking about. Do you remember Bill Hicks when he talked about the Zapruder film? You know, when you become president, they take you in a back room and they show you this angle of the Zapruder film that's never been released. And they're like, yeah, you're going to play ball, or guess what? This is what's going to happen. I mean, you almost see that on their faces. I mean, he changed so drastically in such a short amount of time.
Right.
And I don't believe that was him just, you know, I mean, everybody, you know, gives a bunch of bull crap on the campaign trail. Everybody does it. But he, I mean, he's almost really done a complete 180. And I feel like the Warhawks and the shadow government, you know, have gotten a hold of him. And he's now just another puppet.
Yeah, if they didn't have a hold of him beforehand, right? And, you know.
True.
I mean, almost all the promises that he made, Obama made as well, right? I mean, you know. And what's amazing, what's really amazing, Bax, I think, you know, is that, you know, especially around the election, you know, or when he just got elected and before he took off, you know, before the inauguration and all that. And, you know, and you saw it with Bush, too, right? Like this spike in popularity mm-hmm. for the exiting president, right? And it's like, you know, I don't know how many Twitter wars I got into with people, you know, like, you know, and about Hillary as well. And it's like, of course, it's so hard to, you know, as soon as you bash Hillary, say, people think you're pro-Trump, or as soon as you get out. And it's like, no, you know, and even now it's like, oh, well, you know, you see people, oh, if only Hillary was in there. It's like, are you kidding me? You know, I mean, but yeah, this, I mean, I wish it was, I guess, a long-term memory problem, but it's short-term. You know, I mean, you know, Obama talked about, you know, pulling troops out, stopping all the, and said, no, nothing, right? You know, reeling in Wall Street, no, you know, the exact opposite happened. You know, and came within probably one more year of getting us into TPP. You know, I don't know how that thing never passed, but
not to mention 2000 and let's see, no wait, was that? Yeah, that was a 2008. You know, when we were what, 10 minutes away from the entire economy collapsing.
Yeah.
I mean, literally, and that's the funny thing is people hear they hear you say that, and they think, okay, 10 minutes, but, I mean, if you go back and look through the record and, you know, the actual comments of senators, I mean, and I've said this on past shows, they were calling their wives, telling them to take out as much money as they could because they didn't know if the banks were going to be open tomorrow.
I forget which one it was too. Someone stood on the Senate floor and like, it wasn't Bernanke. It was a senator or something who was like saying, you know, we were told it's going to be martial law that, you know, if we didn't pass the bailout bill. Right. And, and of course, obviously at the end of the day, just another scam perpetrated on us that, you know, I mean, can probably be said one of the largest of all time when it's all told. And just massive, massive fraud, deceit, lies, everything. And they got rewarded for it, you know. And, Obama was a big part of that. You know, I mean, obviously most of it happened on Bush's watch. But, you know, Obama came in and, you know, sealed the deal on the bailout and certainly didn't follow up with any prosecutions.
No, and that's the icing on the cake, right? The cherry on the sundae is that there are this group of people. You can call them a cabal. You can call them part of the shadow government. You can call them the Illuminati. You can say whatever you want to label this type of person, but there is a core group of people who are gutting the economy from the inside out. They're taking everything, and they're just laughing. Nobody's getting punished. And when they do screw up or make the wrong guess, or they get bonuses. I mean, how many multi-million dollar bonuses were passed out after the collapse? It's insane.
Oh, yeah. I mean, absolutely. You know, and then, you know, of course, we saw with Trump's appointments, guys that were knee-deep in the fraud, you know, are now the Treasury Secretary, you know, or...
Right.
You know, so, you know, it's not even no penalty, but it's being rewarded for fraudulent behavior. You know what
I'm saying? It's almost surreal. It's almost surreal. I mean, it's happening right in front of us. I mean, they're literally doing it on national television, and we're just watching. And that, I brought this up, and I don't know if we talked about this or you heard me. Did you see the movie The Big Short?
Yes, of course, a couple times.
Okay.
Great movie.
So,
great
and it is. It's a great movie. I want to be, you know,
on
I
Netflix
say that
now
too.
For anyone who wants
yeah.
to bother.
It is still there, and I recommend you watch it. But here's the thing. They have made a movie with, you know, rock star actors, you know, I mean, A-list and B-list, all there.
Yeah.
You know,
yep.
Well put together, well funded. And we are watching as entertainment the nails being driven into our own coffin.
Yes.
I mean, we're watching it. Well, I mean, it's a TV, it's a movie in Hollywood, and it really happened. I mean, that's just truly brilliant.
It's mind-blowing.
I have to
yeah.
say, right?
yeah. Well, like I said, you know, and you know, Bax, when I started the Front Row and all that, you know, one of my taglines, right, was, you know, conspiracy maybe, screwed definitely. And
definitely.
you know, you don't have to go off on wild conspiracy theories to at all, right, for any reason, right? You don't have to at all. You know, like when you were listing off whatever you want to call it, you know, Illuminati, shadow government, you know, you know, obviously you throw the Illuminati, you know, up conspiracy, you know.
Right.
And so I tend to avoid, you know, even saying that name anymore myself, because number one, I mean, there's a couple things. I don't think necessarily that I don't see one cohesive group, right, at all, really. More mm-hmm. like, you know, dozens of power groups, you know, call them. And, you know, 70-80% of the time their interests align, right? And they're all, they got all their fingers in all sorts of different pies, and, you know, usually most of them have their fingers in one certain pie, and, you know, and so.
Right, they share
it
pie.
It gives that appearance of, you know, but, you know, I mean, even if you went 1% of the 1%, I mean, you're still talking about, like, 70,000 people, you know, or some crazy number, right? And it's like, no way you're going to get that many people to agree uniformly and, you know, have this chain of command up and down and throughout. But it's not needed, right? I mean, obviously, you know, take whatever, you know, metric you want. You know, 62 people that own half the wealth, you know. Whatever you want to, however you want to look at it. I mean, to know that this world is run by the, and then, just like you said, insert the phrase, is
right.
blatantly obvious. And, like, you know, as I started it off, I just can't believe that the same lines are used. You know, at this point in the Trump presidency, there should be rioting in the streets. You know, you said this, you said this, you said this, you know.
Right, but instead we're rioting about
it's the exact opposite.
Him being a fascist, right? I mean, we have these other liberal, you hate black people, you won't let my great uncle come into the country, or which, you know, and I get everybody, you know, your concern is valid, it is noted, you know, I understand that, but what you bring up is a very good point, because I think we have a real problem here. People aren't standing up for the things that are going to kill us first, right? And well, there's this division. Oh, for example, in Oregon, there is they have a town parade, and I can't remember which town it is. And recently, they got a letter from, and this is Berkeley, okay? The College of Free Speech, right? Berkeley. And it was two of the student groups at Berkeley, and they have since denied it was them, sent letters to the organizers of the parade saying, if the GOP is allowed to march, then we will come and knock them down and drag them out of the parade and block the streets. And, you know, that is case in point, the example of labeling an entire group based on the perception of a few. Not every Republican hates immigration and is racist. And, I mean, that's just ludicrous. And for anyone to insinuate that is even worse. And they called off the parade. They did. And Ann Coulter didn't go. And believe me, Ann Coulter, that is a magnificent cunt. I mean, sorry, the show's rated PG-13. I probably shouldn't say that. But the point, I mean, she is just
that's
a piece
all right.
Of
you
work,
were being kind. For her, that is PG-13.
Right. But she still has a right to speak. You know,
absolutely.
You can't just stop people. And Berkeley, I mean, come on. I would say you have a status to uphold here, given all the things that happened in the 60s, 70s, you know, and on. And it's just, I think that is adding to what you're talking about. You know, protesting for the wrong thing, standing up for things that are not going to be the death of us quickly, and then labeling anyone who doesn't adhere to your belief system as the other.
Yeah. Yeah, that took a second to process there. But, no, yeah, I mean, you're right. And it's our, I don't know, refusal or our unwillingness, our blindness to stepping back collectively, looking at the big picture and realizing who the enemy is, right? And you know, I mean, because it's been going on for, you know,
forever,
150 years now. You know, you could say 1,000 or whatever, but you know,
right.
in this country, in America, solidly for, you know, $1.50 anyway, right? Pretty much, you know, since the Civil War, right on through. And like I said, I mean, you know, the refusal to look at that, and we get caught up, right? Because what are the Ann Coulters of the world? You know, they're busy bashing the liberals, right, who are
right.
protesting them and all that, right? And it's like, well, hey, wait a second, I'm a liberal, and there's no way I feel like those pricks, right? But all of a sudden it gets
right.
lumped in as all liberals, and then it's all them, and it's this and that. And, you know, and I'm sure we could probably bring it up in a heartbeat or whatever, but, you know, you look at polls and all that, when you just look at issues individually and erase the labels, right, and just look at issues and where people stand, you know, an overwhelming majority of Americans are, in favor or opposed to certain things. And, you know, what gets passed, obviously, is always the opposite, you know. Whether it's marijuana, right? I mean, 70, 80% of Americans are fine with marijuana being legalized, you know? Why isn't it?
Yeah.
You know?
That's a very good question.
You know,
very
so whatever the issue, you know, health care, you know? If you just said, you know, I mean, there are countries out there doing it right, doing it much cheaper than we are, you know, well, you could call it single payer, whatever you want to do, you know, but we, you know, we don't have to invent the wheel, right? And if you just said, you know, what we have or, you know, what Canada has or what, whatever, you know, majority
yeah.
of people.
Yeah, I think.
Yeah, yeah. Healthcare should be available to everyone. No, get on full.
It should be.
And, you know, as affordable as it can for everyone else. You know, so you cut the bullshit out, and like I said, just tackle it issue per issue. You'd see a very less polarizing America. But they don't, you know, obviously portray it like that. So,
no.
You
no,
know,
they don't.
As we've
and I
said
think that's,
other many times, you can just as the talking heads. That's who I want to blame. So, you know, just as the people who are spouting the stupidity, the ignorance, the tyranny, whatever, the, you know, the mainstream media is just as much to blame for the shape we're in.
Yeah, and they're a tool, you know, and that much is obvious. And if you can't see that, then, you know, I'm not sure how much more obvious it could be. You know, and I talk a lot about that. You look at these channels and, you know, you have, and I use CNN and Fox because those are the classic examples. And, you know, for argument's
sure.
sake, we'll say Democrat, Republican. And the spin and, you know, given, and before all of Bill O'Reilly's, the madness that has happened, you know, the fact that he always said no spin zone was just the most laughable piece of garbage
yeah.
that, you know, because the whole network, and it's both of them, they're nothing but spin. They portray the same exact stories with a little bit of a slant so that it will stick to people's normalcy bias, their worldview. So, you know, I like to hear my news this way. This is what I believe, so I'm going to watch this and I'm going to believe it. And that's where
yep.
a lot of the problems, I think, stem from because, and I will give people this olive branch or give them credit because it's not easy, right? I mean, you know, you go out and you work, you've got to clean your house, take care of your kids, you know, pay your bills, do all this stuff, and then, you know, you want to watch TV or read your stories or listen to your podcast, and on top of that, you got to go and research all these stories, too. To make sure
yeah.
that people are telling you the truth and, you know, find their sources and figure out where it's coming from
yeah.
and then read additional sources. It's damn near impossible, even if you don't mind doing it.
Right. No, it is. You're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. And, you know, it's at the top of the food chain, you know, as far as, you know, what needs to be addressed, and of course, you know, it really isn't at all, you know, because of all these, you know, different things that pop up, whether we're, you know, dropping the mother of all bombs on Afghanistan or, you know, or the government's about
you
to shut down or, you know,
since you brought
Kim Jong-un has a fucking bug up his ass, whatever it is. You know,
let's start in Syria. I want to hear your thought. Let's since you brought that up, let's go back to Syria, okay? Let's go back to the. I mean, granted, I think you know we can all agree that this has been going on for a lot longer than the most recent Syria issue. But in modern times, for the Trump presidency, that's where we'll start. So
okay,
let me ask you this first. What are your thoughts on what allegedly happened, Bashar al-Assad gassing his own people?
I don't believe it for a minute.
And see, I don't either.
You're talking about
that,
the most recent one. You're talking about the one that happened in 2017, right?
Yes, that one. The one that triggered mm-hmm. Trump's response to send over
yes.
a bunch of missiles.
I don't believe it for a minute. You know, the entire Syria thing, to me is just, you know, it's almost the epitome of everything else, right? I believe the entire civil war, there is no civil war. Assad was democratically elected, you know, and you can call, you know, whatever. You can say a bunch of things, but I did happen to watch, what the hell was the name? I'm going to have to look it up. But it was on YouTube, a panel of, I don't know, they had a couple of dozen people who had, they were
some great
from
minds.
All around the globe. And,
like a TED Talk almost with a bunch of people?
No. It was people. What these people had done, they had been living in Syria for the last year. Now, this was about a year ago, so they're probably going back to their time there, you know, 2, maybe 3 years ago. And
right. And the Aleppo heyday.
They were coming up with their
ISIS.
With their opinions on, you know, what was going on there. And they just, like, you know, this whole thing was basically created out of nothing, right? This whole civil war. You know, like, was Assad perfect? No. But you know what? He did have the majority of the support of the people.
Right.
And, you know, they had health care. They had free health care. They had, you know, they had a lot of things going for them. And, you know, I hearken back to the Wesley Clark, you know, the famous clip of him. Now, this is a retired general, right, back in, I think it was 03, 04, a retired general. You know, I think he was on the ticket in 04 or 08, you know, something like that. He was on, you know, he had a, you know, minor splash for a presidential run, but whatever. And I think he was on Democracy Now getting interviewed. This is again in 03, 04 when he gives his little story there, and it's been played on all sorts of alternative media since, but. You know, he was at the Pentagon, and someone came up to me, and he's like, "Sir, you got to see this. You know, we're going to war with Iraq." You know, and he's like, "What?" He's like, "Well, did we find a 9/11 link?" He's like, "No. They just, you know, want to go to war with Iraq." And then he says, "You know, a couple months later, I went back there, and the same guy came up to me. He's like." Oh, sir, it's much worse. He's like, you know, they showed him this memo that said, you know, in the next X amount of years, we're going to Yemen, Syria, Libya, Iran, you know.
Wow.
They list them off. Yeah, you know, and this is back 13 years ago now. And it's, you know, I mean, just cross those right off the list right now in hindsight. So,
wow.
I mean, Syria's been on the map forever, and you know, the entire thing, like, it's hard to just isolate them, right? The fact that we, and you know, Obama again, one of the biggest in history to date, you know, as far as selling arms to Saudi Arabia, right? Who then give arms
right.
to the quote unquote, you know. Rebels of against Assad who happen to be ISIS, you know, so, you know, either directly or indirectly,
mm-hmm.
but certainly with our full knowledge, we know who we're arming and funding. And, you know, just the fact that
yes.
Saudi Arabia is what it is, you know, a totalitarian theocracy that, you know, where women are second class, where I believe an atheist was just murdered for being an atheist, you know, and these guys are our allies. And they're, you know, they're continually killing gays, you know, anyone obviously who isn't Muslim. And, you know, these guys are our allies. And it's like, what? You know, and we're arming them to the teeth. So this whole thing, it's like you jump into this cesspool, and what do you think's going to happen? Like, you know, and we know that the guys in the know have a lot better know than us, right? So they know what the end results are going to be. And it's exactly what they are, you know. And you can go back. I talked about Wesley Clark. You can go back to 2000, September 2000, a year before 9/11, and the project for the New American Century, when the neocon think tank got together and put out their thing that said, you know, we want to do X, Y, and Z, which is all the things that have gone on since. But, you know, unless we get a new Pearl Harbor, you know, it's going to take us a long time to do all this. And lo and behold, they get their new Pearl Harbor, you know, in 1 year.
And
that. Everything that they wanted to do and everything they listed in there, they've done. And it's like, you know, it's 2 + 2 for me. It doesn't take much. You know, and again, to me, it's not conspiracy. It's, you know, it's controlled and you know, planned and plotted and moved right along.
No, I don't disagree. So, and that's, I mean, I think that was, and it was laid out in the Project for the New American Century. You know, we have them, as you point out, saying, you know, the American public will never go for another Patriot Act unless we have a new Pearl Harbor. And then we had it. 9/11 happened. And, you know, you're right. All this it's called nation building, right? We don't like the leader. We go in, we overthrow him, and we find someone who is more towards our liking and is willing to let us come in. I mean, any country that tries to set up a currency not backed by the American, not use the world currency, the U.S. dollar, you are signing your death warrant. And you don't believe me? Ask Muammar Gaddafi. Ask Saddam Hussein. Yeah, I mean, they both tried to do it, and they were both allies. And then we turned them into enemies very quickly, very quickly.
Mm-hmm. Right. And here's the kicker, right? We've been doing that now for a minimum of, you know, 60 years, right, since the 50s. We overthrew the Iranian government. It was a CIA-backed coup in 1953 in Iran. All right? You know, we were the ones who put in the Shah. Right, yeah, the Shah of Iran.
Yeah, the Shah of Iran, yeah.
We put him in 53, right? He was a harsh, brutal dictator by all accounts. And it's what ultimately led to the Ayatollah, right? They had the you know, basically a little civil war within themselves, and the Ayatollah finally threw him over. And, you know, since then they've hated America, and that, you know, like right after that happened, the hostages and the Iran-Iraq war, when we backed Saddam Hussein and we gave him chemical weapons, again, this isn't conspiracy. This is, anyone can look this up. You know, it's all, you know, I mean, it's out there. Document it. Plain sight. And how many times do we back people and then turn on them, right? When they turn on us or if they go against the protocol. Saddam is the perfect case. And, you know, probably a good time to plug one of my favorite books of all time, Confessions of an Economic Hitman.
Excellent book. Perkins, right?
Yeah. John Perkins. I always forget because, you know, I think of Carl Perkins, the old blues man. But
okay.
But it's John Perkins, right? He was ex-CIA. He was what's called a jackal, and he was one of the guys that, you know, was used to go in, you know, and get the leader to play ball. And if they didn't, first they would try to, you know, lure him in with, you know, either bribes or blackmail, right? You know, so obviously they would get, you know, they would get them with all sorts of pictures and different things and, you know. But if that didn't work, then they'd try to assassinate them. And if that didn't work, then comes the United States military.
Absolutely.
You know, so
and
that's the standard protocol, right?
It's such a scary book, dude, because, I mean, this guy's job, I mean, his whole life, he went in and talked to world leaders, the richest of the rich in all these countries. And
yeah, Noriega,
you know,
he was big in Central America and Latin America.
You remember him?
He
in
was
India,
like Noriega
and bathing in the river, the
Chavez, right? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you remember that? Though, when he was talking about the when they were bathing in the river, the polluted river that he knew those factories that he had helped put in, and
yep.
they were just down there bathing in it.
Yes.
You know, I mean, it's just. And I pulled up a list here. And this is just from 1953. We have Iran, and that was Mossadegh, okay? And then in 54, it was Guatemala with Arvin.
Yep.
And they had the killing fields. Vietnam in the 50s, okay? I mean, Ho Chi Minh. And then we have the Congo in 61. And that was, Soku, Mobutu, I don't know. And then we have Brazil in 64, okay? 15 years of despotic rule, and then all traces of democracy vanish amid this just massive torture and killing off of everyone. And then we have Indonesia, and then we have the Dominican Republic, both in 65. We have Chile in 1973, and that's when you start getting into the modern era, when people start being able to remember things.
And just because I don't think you titled it, just so, you know, anyone listening knows, these are documented, you know, cases of CIA and or U.S.-backed coups around the world is what you're reading off.
Yes, and that's you're right. I should have prefaced that a little better. But these are all, and you can look up all of these countries and these dates. It is documented.
Yep.
It is not made up in any way, and I'm not really going into any of the – they're horrific. You can read about these, and it's a lot worse than it's sounding saying it.
Yeah, I mean, not just the takeovers, but, you know, typically in the wake of the takeovers, what's left is just devastation, extreme poverty, because what happens is when they're successful and they get the government in, right, all it is to allow big corporations in the door to give them friendly deals so they can, you know, rape, pillage, and plunder the land and the resources and drive the country into debt. And then once they have, you know, sapped the country of all its resources and everything it's worth, they get the fuck out of there and – you know, just in its wake is just, you know, absolute destitute death. There's no other way to put it.
You're right. And that's what I think, and like you brought up earlier, you know, there's not this group of men smoking cigars, sitting in a room, planning the way of the world. It is, like you said, a much larger group, you know, around, we'll go 70,000 people. I think that's a pretty accurate number. And, you know, these people are hedging their bets. They're collecting resources, getting land, because soon enough, you know, money isn't going to be any sort of commodity. It's going to be people and resources. That's all that is going to matter. And these people, it's going to be like a feudal state, you know, and I hope I don't live to see it, and I hope my kids don't live to see it. But we're getting a lot closer to the end game here, and it's not going to take much to tip over the house of cards. I mean, it's really not.
Right. No, it isn't, you know. I didn't know if you were finished with your list. I know you only got up to, like, the mid-60s, so I didn't know if you wanted to.
Without going into, you know, Saddam Hussein and Iraq, I think the last thing worthy of note would be Haiti.
Haiti. Well, you got Well, Guatemala's on there like twice, I think. Then Venezuela, you know, is on there. I mean, they're all on there at some point, right? I mean, you know, almost every Central American or Latin American country has gone through it. Mm-hmm. Africa, I mean, Jesus, dude, Africa is such a mess, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Hardly ever gets talked about, right? I mean, when you talk about the Sudan or the Congo or these, you know. You know, how is it that a continent that is so rich in resources, right, is just poverty-stricken throughout, you know, and, you know, it's barely a blurb in, on anyone's headlines, right?
Oh, you're absolutely right.
It's sick, and, you know, you know, I would be remiss if, you know, I didn't give, you know, a shout out to our old third party, the Atomizer, who really, you know, at least. Look, I didn't agree with Atomizer in terms of, like, communism is the way, like he thought or he thinks,
mm-hmm.
right? But
right.
I've certainly done a lot of research since on just the you know, the inherent faults of capitalism. And, you know, again, you can strip it. You can strip away the conspiracy talk, and even of any kind of, you know, 1% or whatever. And it's like this is just what this is what capitalism does, right? This is the natural progression for capitalism and capitalists, because
absolutely, yeah.
When you're thinking in a strictly capitalistic way, right? It's profits above all else. Profits are the bottom line. So what you're doing to the land, to the people, to this, to that, to the, it does not matter. And, you know, we're going to be seeing in the next 10 years with driverless cars, you know, and that's going to take what, you know, 5 million truck drivers out of business, and, you know, maybe 8 million people are going to lose their jobs to that probably within 20 years, or maybe less, maybe 10. I don't know. But once those things hit, man, I mean, you're a capitalist. You can, you know, put up a few grand and trick the car or the truck up to deliver, you know, this by itself, or, you know, pay the guy 50, 60 grand in benefits to do it for a year. You know, what are you going to pick?
Exactly. And then that's going to cause, and people don't see it coming. And that's what kills me, because even in fast food restaurants, they're developing those kiosks to where you can just go up and order your food with a little tablet.
Yeah.
I mean, we're not too far away from just pushing a button and it coming out the side of a wall. I mean,
absolutely.
And it's going to cause massive, massive, I mean, it's going to be akin to when automation hit, you know, in the assembly line. It's just going to be such an issue. And, you know, a lot of people talk about the floor wage, the idea that, well, we're going to have X amount of money and we're going to give it to people, and if they want to work on top of that, then, you know, they'll have extra money, but at least everyone will have enough to live. But I don't think they're even going to do that. I think it's just going to be...
Yeah, no, that's a great point, that, you know... That you know, can be explored a lot more, right? And that's this. I think you look back to like the 50s and 60s or the 40s and 50s, and there was this, you know, the next generation, everything's going to be automated and all this, and it's going to lead to leisure time, you know, never before seen. And we've got the automation, but what's happened, with the prices of everything is that, you know, leisure time hasn't come down. Like, if you're telling me that there's going to be driverless cars and I, you know, fast food restaurants and all these places are going to be kiosks, and the bottom line is, you know, the work week for everyone goes to 20 hours a week, right? And you can still afford your house and your car, you know, and all that stuff.
Right.
Great. Hallelujah. Right? But, you know, we've increased production in the last 50, 60 years, or 100 years, however you want. We've increased production 1,000-fold. But we haven't, you know, how long have we been on the 40-hour work week? Right?
Or all these other things. To remember when it started. It wasn't long after the Industrial Revolution.
So
it wasn't.
Right. You know, so again, it's like, if we were simultaneously going in both directions, that would be great. But obviously, we're not.
No, we're not.
Right.
We're not at all. And you know, you bring up a really good point. And I did look it up really quick here. So the 40-hour work week was instituted around 1940. So in 1890, the U.S. government began tracking workers' hours, and the average work week in 1890 for a full-time manufacturing employee was 100 hours a week. So in 1940, the 8-hour day and the 40-hour work week became standard practice. Now, a lot of people view this as, well, this is fantastic. You know, they stepped in and they said, you know, they can't make us work 100 hours, and which is, yes, that's fine. But we've also stepped into this paradigm where there's a perception that you have to work 40 hours a week, no matter what your job is, because that's what's expected of you, and that's the amount of time you have to put in to be productive. And we're going to give you this amount of pay, and that is a very fair amount. And if you want to pay extra and get an education, then we'll give you this much more. And if you want to sacrifice and go to school for 10 years, we'll give you this much more. But it's all a fallacy. It's all a farce, right? It is all a system designed to keep us busy and keep us working. And as long as they keep the pay low enough, we don't have the ability to break free because we don't have the time to think about it, and we don't have the time to invest and save up enough money
enough
to be.
Pay low enough or prices high enough, right? I mean, or the combination of the two, right? I mean, I know that where you are is a little different than where I am here on, you know, in the Boston area.
Oh, yeah. Big time. It's a bit more than a little.
Yeah. Right. But obviously, you know, wages are a little different here and all that other stuff. But
true.
I mean, even two people, you know, a married couple, whoever, combining forces, making $100,000 a year, like, say, combined, or 110, whatever. It's not enough. It's not enough. Not if you have kids, right?
No, it's not.
It's not enough. It's absolutely mind-blowing, you know? You know, it's funny though when you're talking about the work week in 1890, and then in 1940 it came down, right?
Right.
Real quick, this is one thing that I kind of, especially when it comes to capitalism, or you know, capitalism versus, say, you know, a form of socialism. Or some hybrid or whatever, however you want to put it, you know. But this is what I kind of like to point out. Two periods in the United States that saw, you know, are probably one or two or one and 1A in terms of growth in like the history of the world, right, and certainly in the history of America. And you have the time period right after the Civil War. So, you know, 1865, 1870 to, you know, 1900, 1910, somewhere in there. And then right after World War II to, you know, say 1970. You have those two periods in American history that were unprecedented in, you know, growth, jobs, you know, that quote-unquote American dream, right?
Right.
Now, the first one was much more pure capitalism, right?
Okay.
I mean, it was unfettered, almost, capitalism. Very little. You know, when you talk about the railway being built and, you know, all these things, you know, we forget those were just companies that were taking chances and, you know, they'd build the railroad and they'd get the contract afterwards or something like that, you know. But
right.
Anyway, so that period was, you know, just, you know, as close to pure capitalism as we've ever been. And, yes, it had the growth, which was amazing. But what was it? And how was it done? Well, you know, 10-year-olds were working the mines for 16 hours a day, right? The work week
yeah.
was 110 hours, right? You had absolutely no, you know, say whatsoever as a worker. And, you know, you were spit up and, you know, chewed up and spit out like a piece of machinery, right?
Absolutely.
So the second period, though, was, you know, FDR, right, and his New Deal. Social Security, you know, the Great Highway Project and the national parks,
mm-hmm.
you know, whatever. But it was much more of a socialistic program all across the board. And then we saw these great things happening for us, like Social Security, lower work week, child labor laws, you know, just go up and down the line, right?
Right.
So, you know, I just point to those two things, and it's like, well, you know, we can and do and did have growth with a very socialistic mindset, you know? And, you know, I think what's just happened since is they've been chipping and chipping away at that. You know, FDR, he went to the top 1% and said, you know, look, this is how it's going to work because these people are rioting in the streets, you know, on the heels of the Great Depression.
Absolutely, yeah.
If you make over 25K,
three years
you make
after?
Over 25,000 a year, it's 100% tax.
Yeah.
100% tax. Just think of that. That was like the equivalent of like 250 or 350 today. He settled
yep.
on 90%. But basically, after you hit a certain amount, you've made enough. The rest is coming to us. Because.
Right.
Just because. And they accepted it.
And it happened. Yes.
And it happened.
And you didn't have everybody moving away, leaving the United States, taking all their businesses
right.
away. That didn't happen. That didn't happen.
Mm-mm.
They ate it. Because they knew if they didn't do it, then they were going to have to move anyway because the country was done.
Yeah. Exactly. So,
I mean, there's a reason
yeah,
people
man.
Are here, and there's a reason they put their all of their factories in other countries because they can abuse those countries. That's why you have all these countries now coming back and saying, oh, we want restitution for all of the pollution and damage that's been done, you know, because they signed the agreements, the economic hitmen like Mr. Perkins you were talking about earlier went in and convinced them what a smashing idea it was to let us come in. And
right.
now they are just carving us out from the inside. Like I said earlier, it's happening all over again, and people are so freaking blind that they'll watch a movie about the crash that just happened instead of preparing for the one that's coming and trying to stop it and get those very same people out of power, positions of power, so that it doesn't happen again.
Absolutely, man. Yeah, And again, you know, I just, you know, like I said, I mean,
fires me up.
I obviously don't have a reason or whatever. It's like, to me, it's, you know, it's just so blatantly obvious, right? But it isn't. I don't know. You know, just people, you know, and this is kind of what led to my, you know, the path as far as, you know, the Front Row Atheist and doing all that. You know, I mean, I just really feel that, I don't know, you know, obviously this is a very, one, if not one of the very most religious countries, you know, outside of, you know, straight theocracies. And to me, that mentality of accepting what you're told, you know, when it's so obvious, you know, Bronze Age myth, and you're forced to accept it and do mental gymnastics to make it work in your mind, well, then you can be told anything, right?
Yeah.
And,
yeah,
it, you know, so it's a, it was a big driver behind, you know, my, like, okay, well, this seems like we can attack it, right? You know,
right.
Let's at least just get down to rational thought about, you know. But, you know, what's problematic and what I've found problematic, especially in the atheist or skeptic communities, is that how skeptic they are when it comes to religion, most of them, when it comes to any other topic, 9/11 or, you know, any of these things, oh, conspiracy theory, right? And they just swallow that, the government line, hook, line, and sinker, and they don't apply the same skeptic thinking that they do to religion. It's amazing, right? So it's very frustrating for me. You know, it's you know, I mean, God, I go in and out of 9/11, you know, every few months it, like, comes back to the, so, you know, it's just like, oh, my God, you know.
Right.
You know, as far as what it actually is or was, yeah, maybe there's some, you know, like who actually made certain decisions and all this, but that doesn't matter to me. The fact is that what we were told was absolutely 100% bullshit, you know, and
yeah,
how up in arms people were about what happened, obviously, in the devastation, and rightfully so. And
the ambivalence
towards, you know, pressing, you know, I mean, just the fact that it took a year and a, you know, almost 2 years to get an investigation. You know, Bush didn't even want to do one. And, don't get me started there,
no,
Max.
you're right. And it's like the Warren Commission, right? You know, when Kennedy was assassinated, you know, they have the Warren Commission. And basically, we have a group who was assigned to investigate one of the most horrible tragedies, the assassination of President Kennedy. And what did they find? That there was definitely something going on, but they weren't sure what it was. I'm paraphrasing, but they basically came out and said the official narrative, the story that everyone is hearing, is not true. And the people still just...
Did they? Was that?
They just let it go. So even if they,
cause
even
what
if
I
they
know,
said that about 9/11, would it matter?
You know, I know that, and it's really, you know, one name above almost all others that, you know, should be notorious in this country, Alan Dulles, right? He was the one that, he was the head of the CIA, and Kennedy fired him. And then he was the one who headed up the Warren Commission, you know?
Right.
And, you know, a lot of roads lead back to that guy. And, you know, his brother, there was two of them, and one was, you know, they had a Wall Street law firm, and, you know, the connection between Wall Street and the the intelligence community, and of course, then you know, and then the government, and the just the crisscrossing between those two, and the military-industrial complex. I mean, it was really born out of, you know, those two guys.
I don't disagree.
And Alan Dulles should be at the head of the list in terms of, you know, we got airports named after the guy, Dulles International, you know, and everything else. And, so, and the beat goes on. The beat goes on, Bax.
And that's, you know, and that's where we are.
It's very hard. It's very frustrating, you know. Like, to me, things are so, not black and white, but again, you know, as far as who the enemy is, it's pretty clear in my mind, you know. And, but unfortunately, guys like me and you are very much in the minority.
We are, and as much as I hate to say it, I really think that, and like I said, I hope I'm long gone, and I hope my kids are long gone before whatever it is happens. But, you know, one day, and it may not be on this radio show or over the internet or, you know, sitting up speaking in front of a crowd, because who knows what will happen after, you know, something goes down. But we'll look back and people will say, wow, you know, they weren't crazy. Like, they were right, and for some reason we didn't see what was right in front of us. And that's what people crack me up. They keep talking about World War III. Well, you don't get to name World War III. That's for historians, when they look back and see how stupid people were and how all of these things were done right in front of the public eye, yet we all stood back and let it happen because we were too afraid to give up what we had, that small amount of comfort, to make sure future generations could live the way we have, with freedom and what's right and what's fair. No, instead, we're keeping our smartphones and our cable and our reality TV and now accepting this political theater, which is not much more than a reality TV show. And it's sad. It's just sad, because one day someone's going to pay for it, and unfortunately we'll probably be dead when it really happens, when the price really comes to be paid. You know, we're writing checks now, but, you know, there'll be no one here to cash them.
Yep. No, well said, man. Well said. And, you know, obviously, couldn't really agree more, and you know, it's just, I've said it before, I think when history finally does judge us, despite all the technical advances that we've made, we'll still be looked upon as living in the Dark Ages, you know.
We're savages.
Because we haven't, you know, yeah, we've had some, okay, great, we got a smartphone or this or that or whatever, but, you know, outside of that, you know, we haven't advanced, philosophically, I guess, is, you know, you know, just when you talk about, you know, I mean, half this planet living in absolute destitution, poverty, you know, and
dying
deplorable
because
conditions
hungry.
That, you know.
Dying because they have
I mean,
no
just
water.
In the U.S., you know, 50,000 people die a year because they don't have access to health care. 50,000 a year, you know. And we just, you know, life is not considered all that precious still. You know, and to me, that's what, you know, when you can advance into every single life being precious and, you know, certainly not God-given rights, but just, you know, your rights as a human being, in what you should have access to and be allowed to do, you know, till we get there, you know, we haven't progressed an inch, right? I totally agree.
Yeah. And I think that that's going to be a good spot to wrap it up. I've got to go in and get the kids ready for bed and homework and all that. But you know, before we go, and that's I really want to say again what a stellar point that is, and how crystal clear and easy it is too. That's the thing. If we could just come together and do what's right by our fellow man, spread the wealth around, and I'm not trying to talk like a socialist and telling you take from others and give, but there's enough. There is enough to feed and clothe everyone, to make sure everyone has a place to stay, and still the corporate elite, the 1%, the 0.01% would still be where they're at. And that,
right.
And you're right, until we can
absolutely
do that as a people,
yeah,
we're still
absolutely
savages,
man.
And we're still,
you know,
we're not there yet.
No.
So why don't you plug your YouTube channel before we go too?
Yeah, Front Row Seat. You know, usually videos under the name of Front Row Atheist, and I am at Front Row Atheist on Twitter, or at Front Row Atheist, I guess. And that's about the two best ways. Hopefully, like I said, hopefully this will be a nice spark, and I'll get some new material out. There's definitely some things that are itching. And you know that I do want to get down. So you know, so hopefully you know people can look forward to that, and we can you know keep on going. And you know, love to check in with you every now and then. And love that Irate Minority has been birthed. And let's hope you know for both of us, more people keep tuning in.
Absolutely, and I am I'm still working on the website. It's actually coming along pretty well, getting some decent blogs on there. I am soon going to upgrade to being able to put videos on, so I'm going to make sure to get some links over to your YouTube channel, start getting some videos up myself. And,
great.
You know, you are always welcome, you know, anytime you want to join in. I'm going to try to do this every Sunday, you know, schedule permitting, of course, you know, sometimes things happen, but I will be posting
sure
the topic, you know, earlier in the week from now on, and yeah, don't be a stranger for sure.
Absolutely, Bax. It was great as always to talk to you, and we'll do it again in the near future.
All right, Crafty, great. Thank you for calling in, and you have a good night.
You got it, my friend. You too.
Thank
Bye-bye.
You. Bye. All right, well, you guys heard it. That was Irate Minority for tonight. We're going to thank Crafty again. You know, always great talking to him. He is a wealth of knowledge for sure. Be sure to go and check him out. We have Front Row Seat, Front Row Atheist on YouTube. Definitely want to check out those videos. He's good at what he does. You know, and go to our website, irateminority.net, and you can find us on Twitter at @_irateminority_. And, of course, Facebook and YouTube. You can find all those links on the website at irateminority.net. And, you know, be looking for improvements. As I say every time and fall short, I will be doing this stuff a little faster and trying to keep you guys posted on future videos and future shows and all that in advance. So thank you for tuning in. We appreciate you listening. If you have any questions, feel free to email me through the website. Get a hold of me on the Facebook page, you know, however you want to do it. If you got an idea for a show or, you know, whatever, just get a hold of me and let me know. And thank you again. Have a great night. And remember, First 72 is on you.